Please listen carefully.
Hello, world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists, a crazy talented team from all over the world, and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels, which are managed by the extraordinary Kaylee Kraft. And now, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, Christy, we have the most amazing team at the Optimist Daily Worthy podcast. Today is Wednesday, May 20th, 2020.
Yep. And we do have a great team, Summers. And I guess, you know, since it is Wednesday, the middle of the week, it's day to express our gratitude for our coworkers, wherever they are in the world, however they're doing. We love them all.
We have an amazing team. And I think that's something that people all over the world in their businesses are beginning to understand is just how exceptional people are when we're not seeing them face to face, but we're still working with them and seeing productivity and output and engagement. As you and I have discussed many times, I just cannot believe how hard our group works. And as this whole pandemic quarantine circumstance has begun, the Optimist Daily folks have just dialed it up, and we didn't pay anybody anymore, and we just promised that we would do our damnedest to keep everybody's jobs and keep everyone employed. And I think productivity has doubled during this time. So I'd love to hear from other business leaders. We're working on an Optimist View this weekend about leadership in the time of COVID-19 and as we come out of it, as we return and get back to something better. So anyone who's a leader or is leading within their organizations during this crazy time, well done, guys. And to our entire team, you guys rock.
Well, I think one of the things that it sort of expresses is that leadership isn't necessarily driven from the top, although the most important thing is to have somebody who you feel like has got your back, you know, a leader who you can admire, who admires you back. And that's what creates an inspired workforce. But it's just wonderful to see people taking their own initiative and really doing what they can with all of their different skill sets and talents to really show up with their best work. And I appreciate it every single day.
I think as we go into whatever this next chapter is for our world, those of us who have had the fortune and the privilege of not being greatly affected, either our health or our safety, we have the responsibility to return back to this society and continue to give. Like some of the stories we shared yesterday and some of the stories we're going to see today on the Optimist Daily. I guess I'm feeling very hug the world and hug our team right now. And I think part of it's because I have two very huggable stories that I want to talk about today. But well, do you want to kick it off?
Well, I kicked it off yesterday, so I think you got to start today.
Okay. So our deal in this new format, guys, is that we're both trying to just pick one story that we talk about a little bit. And I have a really hard time every morning because there are 10 amazing stories that are delivered to our emissaries on the Optimist Daily and then shared through social. Our Optimists, who are just our subscribers, also receive an email with the top five. But in the 10 today, there are two stories about wildlife. And I, as many of you know, am a huge wildlife person. My home and life is filled with animals that I can care for. And so these two stories, I think, are very exciting, and they're in the conservation and protection of animals. The first one is that a previously extinct bird species has re-evolved itself back from the dead. Now, zombie birds sound sort of terrifying, but right when I first read the headline, it was sort of, how is this possible that a bird has re-evolved back? And should we be concerned about, you know, dinosaurs coming back? And is this a Jurassic Park situation? And will there be velociraptors in my yard? But what's really interesting is in the science about this is that the Aladabra, a white-throated rail, was reportedly wiped out around 136,000 years ago. Its home was submerged under the ocean due to rising sea levels. But this flightless brown bird has recently been spotted. Zoologists explain that the reincarnated rail is an example of something called iterative evolution. This is when old genes that were thought to have died out reemerge at a different point in time. So this bird didn't just come out of the new sludge. It actually evolved from ancestors. Its ancestral line reemerged. That one makes me really excited because, you know, just to see the power of nature and to see an animal coming back is exciting. Another one, which is totally adorable and has baby things, is the San Diego Zoo announcing that the pygmy hippo birth has taken place. Now, some of you may have followed the video of Mabel, the 4-year-old pygmy hippopotamus. That's one of those live stream views that you can watch. But Mabel just had a baby calf last month. While the calf has not been named, the zoo said it stood, walked, and followed its mother around. Zoos are super controversial, and I wrestle with a lot of the challenges that zoos have as far as keeping animals captive, but we do know they play a huge role in conservation and protection of animals that are endangered. So this little pygmy baby is darling, and with only 2,500 in the wild, a number of zoos that are caring for and breeding these curious creatures makes me very happy. So maybe that's why I'm just in such a hug mood. It's zombie birds and baby hippos.
Oh, let's not call the birds zombies. It's an interesting phenomenon that only occurs periodically. I think they've seen it a lot in turtles and other amphibial or reptiles. So I think this might be the first bird species they're saying. And I think it's really interesting to see just how nature, when given a little bit of room to recover, is really resilient. And I think that's a lesson for all of us and how we are all resilient if we really just give ourselves room to recover.
And certainly, you know, I was watching local Santa Barbara news the other day, and they were talking about how there are mountain lions that have come down and are near the zoo and in areas of Santa Barbara that previously you haven't seen mountain lions in quite some time. And that is part of the resiliency, because with less traffic and less people about, nature has found a way. And we've covered this on dozens of stories on the Optimist Daily. We actually had to kind of put a halt on how many of these stories we were sharing because it was just flamingos everywhere. Nature really is powerful. And you're absolutely right. That is a lesson in how we as humans can be powerful too, because we are natural beings ourselves.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. And it's not just mountain lions, by the way. It's also bears and deer and lots of other critters. They're always there. You just don't see them because there's so much traffic. So as we reopen, I think it's just interesting to see how we can be sensitive to the creatures that share our world with us, even in our urban or suburban areas.
Living in a more synergistic way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more life supporting in a general way. Speaking of life supporting, my top story for today from the building community section on the Optimist Daily, and it's about how car-free streets unite communities, a firsthand account from Oakland. Our readers know that we're very supportive of stories and urban planning that supports people over motorists and pedestrians over motorists, just because this is a way that we can really make our cities more human and not focused on the go, go, go and high technology, but remember that we are inhabitants of those cities, just like the mountain lions and the coyotes and all the other critters that are suddenly popping their heads out. The other residents that are starting to pop their heads out as we decline our traffic is the people. And this is Oakland Slow Streets. We wrote about it last month. It's a project that's aimed at maintaining social distancing, but also supporting people in getting daily exercise and just being able to go about their day by closing 74 miles of streets all over Oakland for pedestrian and cycling use only. You know, that was a month ago. And now the initiative has shown people what can happen when the streets are taken for people as opposed to cars. It's been really popular, and people are starting to come out of their homes. And even while maintaining their physical distance, the community spirit, which is coming out from these people being allowed to interact with each other in the streets, teaching their kids to ride bicycles, you know, just walking around and sitting on their front stoop, playing music together, all at a safe distance. But you have a sense of community. You really get to know your neighbors. And I think one of the things that's interesting in most cities today is you don't really have a chance to know your neighbors. I mean, you drive in, you go to your door, and that's about it. You don't really spend any time on your front porch. And in yesteryear, that was really how our communities were built. You know, there was a community. Lately, there's been so little consideration in our built environment to creating an actual community or a neighborhood. And yeah, nosy neighbors can be frustrating, but it's also nice to have people who are aware of your comings and goings and who you can turn to for a cup of sugar or something.
I found myself on a walk on Sunday with the baby and Cleo. I ran into another woman who lives in my neighborhood who's got two kids. She recommended that my husband purchase this Burly Bee wagon so that he could ride around with Brennan. And she's this amazing person. She's an airline pilot. And instead of completing my walk and getting my steps in, I stood and rocked Brennan's stroller back and forth while she napped and talked to her for an hour. You know, in past days, I would have had my headphones in and I would have just gotten my steps in as opposed to making a friend who was a neighbor. It is slowing ourselves down a little bit and kind of having less time spent doing things that don't matter, like commuting or being trapped in traffic or just wasting time, but instead saying every moment and every interaction with people is precious. This is a great story. I think Oakland has certainly experienced this. I have family who lives up in the Bay Area and they have noted this. And I just thought this was a lovely story on the Optimist Daily.
And a lot of other urban areas around the world are thinking about this. We've reported about London and Seattle in the last couple of weeks. And I just think it's a very interesting thing to think about. And as our city centers are going to be reeling with the economic downturn and the retail shops are all closing and the restaurants, I mean, having more community, I think, is one of those resilient tools that we can really support that will help us get back to better.
I totally agree. And I'm excited for it. Christy, what are you looking forward to most in getting back to better?
Well, I think I'd like to change the balance a little bit of my workday so I'm not just at home, but I also don't want to be just at the office. You know, I like having a little bit of more space. This is for my personal life. I want to really remember the lessons I've learned in terms of how important the different people that I have in my life are and really make space and time for connecting with them. But I also want to remember the lessons that I've learned in having space to connect with myself. And that was something that I was writing about in the View I wrote the other week about self-care. I've started journaling again, and that's something I haven't done regularly for years, even though that was one of my main tools as a younger person. But, you know, getting caught up in the day-to-day, oh, that 15 minutes of sitting down with my notebook lost its salience. But now it's become a really important tool for me, and I want to keep that going. So those are just my some personal things. And in the world, I like the idea of having less driving in general. I would love to get back to being able to use public transportation safely and figure out how we can support that. Having less time in the car is great. Other things, I actually just traded in my car for a used Nissan Leaf. So I'm now an all-electric driver, which is great. And it has a range of 100 miles. And that's all I need, because most of the driving that I do, not that I've been doing hardly any driving lately, but most of it is just around town. And why waste the gas? I drive by a gas station now, I'm like, oh, that has no importance to me at this moment. You know, this is a very weird thing.
Exactly. I was going to say that reminds me of some of the other headlines that we saw on Daily today.
Including the Tokyo Fire Department is now welcoming all electric ambulances. That's the way we really get our emissions down overall in our city centers and in the world, is to start moving industrial vehicles and commercial vehicles off of fossil fuels as well. Whether it's a fuel cell, you know, hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicle or an all-electric ambulance like the Tokyo Fire Department, I mean, that's how we're really going to push that needle in terms of our transportation sector, in addition to supporting public transportation, which is safe and reliable and easy to use.
Other headlines you guys can catch on the Optimist Daily today include one about IKEA wanting you to build a bee house in our birds, bees, and bugs section, fostering constructive debates within your work team, which I know we'll be covering because we have a big team meeting today, viral COVID bedtime story that's inspiring children and parents alike. We explore a little bit about why we think it went viral at the Optimist Daily and what it speaks to in humanity, future of tires, and then a couple more, right?
There's also a new textile, a new fabric that is constructed in such a way that viruses actually can't stick to it, which is kind of a good thing in the world that we're living in right now. And that's something they're developing. And we like to look to the future and innovation and science and in health and the arts. All of these stories are really great. So go to the website and check them out.
Well, guys, on Wednesday, we have our big stakeholder investor team meeting, and I am responsible for reporting on the health of the business. So I have to wrap up and get to that. But let me just tell you, we love everyone who listens to, reads, and shares The Optimist Daily. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of our community. Christy, why don't you bring us home?
Thank you, everybody, for listening to The Optimist Daily Update. I, like Summers, really appreciate everybody who's out there in our community. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and help ensure that it's changed for the good. We also promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And here's my sales request, everybody. Please consider supporting The Optimist Daily by becoming an emissary and paying $5 a month subscription. Christy, I have an update. We actually have people who have come on board and offered to pay $50 a month. Supporting reader-funded independent journalism. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Thanks so much, Summers, and thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great day, guys. Thank you.